chapter number 90. Psalms chapter 90, if you will, please, today. How many of you found your place? Psalms chapter number 90. No, let's make that Psalms chapter number 100.
Amen.
Amen. It gets easier as you go on. You know, you get into those big numbers, it kind of confuses me. Psalms chapter 100, I'm sorry. Nothing on my notes, nothing that should be in my mind should have said 90. I think the Lord is working to keep Brother Sutton humble. I hope it works. Psalms chapter 100. The thought today is simply this: proper praise. Proper praise. Verse number 1 of Psalms 100. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I do that every time I sing. Make a joyful noise unto... Going to be interesting today. Some men know exactly when to say amen. Oh, amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What a wonderful psalm. Father, bless your word today, the foolishness of its preaching. Help us to have a good time in your house, Lord. Help us to enjoy you today. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this text, as we read it, it says Psalms 100, a psalm of praise. It doesn't tell us who the human author is, and that's really not so significant. Now, that kind of helps us sometimes to kind of set the mood and try to understand what kind of a emotional conflict they were having or where they were in the emotional scale when they wrote that. But actually, the truth of it is, God wrote it. Holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Spirit of God, to where every word that they wrote is exactly what God wanted. And God has kept that for us. And so the actual author is the Lord. An interesting thing to note about this portion of Scripture is that it's one whole chapter and there's not one negative thing said in this chapter. And my wife said, can we please finish like that too? King James Bible, Fundamental Baptist Church, and we read it, and there's not one negative thing said as we look at this portion of Scripture. What a wonderful God we have. He knows what we need. Sometimes we don't know what we need, but God does. And so as we think about praising the Lord and a proper way to praise Him, let me share with you this thought about praising God, defining praise. Listen to this. This is a story. An old farmer went to the city one weekend and attended a big city church. And he came home and his wife asked him how it was. Well, said the farmer, it was good. They did something different, however. They sang praise courses instead of hymns. Praise courses, his wife said. What are those? Oh, they're okay. They're sort of like hymns, only different, said the farmer. Well, what's the difference? Asked the wife. The farmer said, well, it's like this. If I were to say unto you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, well, that would be a hymn. If, on the other hand, I were to say to you, Martha, 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 oh, Martha, 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 the cows, the big cows, the brown cows, the black cows, the white cows, the black and white cows, the cows, the cows, the cows are in the corn, in the corn, in the corn, in the corn, in the corn. They're in the corn. That would be a praise hymn. Oh, we were kind of weak on the amen on that. Amen. And so we find that there are different opinions of what praise really is. Now, in this portion of Scripture, not the Side note. In the scripture, seven things we can note from that portion of scripture about the wonderful things that God has for us. Number one, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I wonder how often we do that. And then he says, serve the Lord with gladness, not with contention, not with contempt, not because someone forces you to, but serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with gladness. Know that the Lord, he is God. And then he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I think we fail there often because many times we come in, gimme, 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 rather than praising God for who he is and what he's doing and what he's done. He says, be thankful unto him. And then the number seven one is, bless his name. Now these commandments, according to verse number one, were given to all lands. And these commandments were given, according to verse number four, to all generations. Let me ask you this. Are you today in a land? Are you today in a generation? Then these commands were given to you. And so let me ask you this morning, right here, right? Just we'll stop right before we ever get into the message and ask you the question. How are we doing on these seven simple things? Now, you know your heart better than I know your heart, and you don't know your heart like Jesus knows your heart, because our heart full is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And the answer is no one can know it without studying the Word of God. Amen. And as we study the Word of God, God reflects us to us the condition of our heart. And so how are we doing with this part of the message on the 27th day of June in 2021? How are we doing? Well, we're told that the Lord enjoys his people being happy and joyful. I know some people that think that God is some kind of a cosmic killjoy. He dwells somewhere in the sweet by and by, and he watches people, and the moment you start to have a good time, he zaps you with something. I mean, he'll give you some type of a plague, some type of an emotional crash, some kind of an intestinal problem. He'll do something to mess up your parade. Now, that's what a lot of people think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself on the cross that we might have eternal, everlasting, shall ever perish life. Well, God uses these words in this portion of Scripture to share with us that he wants us to be happy. These are God's words. He said, make a joyful noise. Not a complaining, whining, bitter, ugly noise. Make a joyful noise. And then he uses the word gladness. I guess that would be the opposite of happiness. Or excuse me, that would be the opposite of sadness. And then he speaks of singing. You know, when I get to heaven and God releases all the songs that are locked in me because I am a little bit inhibited to sing much because I sing like a bullfrog with a cold on a bad day. But when I get to heaven, I am going to sing. God's going to have the angels gather around and say, listen to this man sing now that he has a perfect voice. And the angels will be weeping then for joy. They don't weep for that reason nowadays when I sing. But the Bible says God uses the word singing. And then he uses the word thanksgiving. You know, it's just real difficult to have a thankful heart and complaining lips. It's real difficult to have a thankful life and a life of bitterness. Those there's some things that just won't go together. They're like oil and water. You might shake them up for a little bit, and some people do on Sunday morning. They shake them up and walk into church, and no one guesses that underneath that facade is bitterness and struggles and emotional complaints and maybe just terrible wrong things in their life. But then when they get outside and the oil and the water starts to separate, another story is told. So we need to be a thankful people. And then he uses the word praise. Praise. You know the word appraisal? The word appraisal comes from the same word that praise comes from. And if we will take an appraisal of what we have in Christ, it'll cause us to praise him. Listen, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I could want to be different in my life. But when I stop and think about where I was when Jesus pulled me out of the muck and the mire and set my feet on a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, a song that was so real that many could see it and praise the Lord and come to the Lord, when I think about that, then and I appraise that, it becomes of great value. My wife, some time ago, gave to our first son a little hardback book. It was called Smarty Artie. No, Artie the Smarty. Excuse me. Artie the Smarty. How many of you have read Artie the Smarty? Oh, you should have read it and you should have put a book up somewhere. My wife did. We have one box of treasures that we have not been able to locate for some time. Don't know where they're at. Probably one of these days our children will find them and wonder what these are. But that Artie the Smarty book, that most people would look at it and say, "Oops." My daughter looked it up the other day and sent me a text yesterday. And that little 59-cent book is worth $904 today. Now, nothing's changed about the book. It still says the same thing. It still looks the same way. And it's still lost. But the appraisal, when I told my wife that, she almost danced a jig. We need to appraise what we have in Christ so that we can praise Him for what we are, where we're going, what we're doing, what's happened to us. It would be a good thing for us to do that. Well, there's some things we need to understand today about proper praise, and we want to look at about 20 of them, but we'll cut it down considerably because of time. Proper praise finds pleasure in the presence of the Lord. Let me ask you this today, really. I mean, it's just us sinners here today. There's no one here today that's not a sinner. So it's just us sinners here today. We ought to be able to be honest with God and ourselves, even if we weren't honest openly to everyone else. How much do you enjoy spending time with God? If you spent the same amount of time with your wife or your husband that you do with the Lord, would they be happy? Proper praise finds pleasure in the presence of God. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Verse number 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." God wants to spend time with His people. God desires to be close to us, not just indwell us and be poked back into some corner sometime. God wants to really spend time with us. So we're commanded to come into His presence. If we come in Jesus' name, we're welcome. And so we're commanded to do that. We're commanded to enter His gates. You know, there's some places today, some gates today, you go in those, you get shot. But there's no trespassing signs anywhere around God. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls." God wants to spend time with His people. One day, all saved people will be in His presence forever, forever and ever. The song says, "When by His grace I shall look on His face, oh, that will be glory for me." How much time do we spend with the Lord Jesus? Now in this time, we can live, we can be in His presence in a very special way. You see, God has always had a place that He wanted to meet with His people. Always had a special place to meet with His people. And today, He wants to meet in a New Testament Baptist situation with His people on a regular basis. And He's got it all worked out to where that works out just fine if we will cooperate, if we'll do our part of that. And of course, we meet together and we sing and we praise and praise Him and we pray and we We have a message from the Word of God. We study the Word of God. What a great lesson we had on the church this morning in Sunday school. Oh, how we need to understand the importance of being in the house of God. Jesus said, now listen to this, because some of you have believed a lie. Some of you have drank the Kool-Aid on this deal. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And somebody says, well, there, see there, preacher, we went horseback riding last Sunday morning. We went out and shot guns last Saturday morning. We went hunting last Saturday morning. We went to the woods last Saturday morning. We went to Grandma's house. It doesn't matter what you did. And then you claim that verse that the world has taken out of context and made a lie out of it instead of the truth. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name. That is that Jesus would underwrite what you're doing. If I had a check in Jesus' name, I could cash it in heaven anytime I wanted. And that's why the Bible tells us when we pray, we ought to pray in Jesus' name. And we ought to pray in Jesus' name if we're meeting with the city council. We ought to pray in Jesus' name if we're meeting before Congress. We ought to pray in Jesus' name no matter where we're at. We ought to pray in Jesus' name if we want God to answer our prayers. There's authority in that name. And God wants to spend time with these people. And in my name means that Jesus would sign it off. It means like he would do it. Proper praise in our time is best displayed in our meeting with him at a proper place of worship. And now I'm not saying you can't pray at the fishing hole. I pray every time I go to a fishing hole. I want there to be one more big one there. I pray that what I brought for bait is just exactly what they're hungry for today. But I don't do it on Sunday morning when I'm supposed to be in church. Did you hear about those two guys that went fishing? And they caught some fish and they're getting ready to go home and they're dragging the boat out and one guy says, the other guy says, you know, I feel kind of bad. I really should have gone to church today instead of going fishing. And the other guy says, well, yeah, I understand that for you. But he said, I couldn't have gone to church anyway because my wife's homesick. Ding, 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 ding. Well, that's time letting it soak in. Amen. Amen. We need to understand God, true praise, proper praise, finds pleasure in the presence of God. Secondly, proper praise perceives his power. I wonder today if we recognize the power of Almighty God. I wonder. The time when Jesus just spoke. For an example, he said, let there be light. Woo! And boom, there comes the sun to rule the day. And poof, the moon to rule by night. And then he created the stars also, just by speaking. The power. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Based on that, he tells Bethel Baptist Church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege. And we praise him when we recognize him as Lord. You see, he's the boss. Somebody's running your life today. And if it's not the Lord Jesus, then somebody else is ruining your life today. Because it's not what it could be if you submitted your life to the Lord Jesus and just gave it to him, hook, line, and sinker. Someone says, you don't understand, preacher. No, it's God that doesn't understand because he's the one that said what I'm telling you. It's God that doesn't understand, and we know that's not true. And then we praise him when we recognize him as creator. In our text, it says, he hath made us. We have not made ourselves. It's he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Sometimes we get the idea, well, I know what's best for me. No, God knows what's best for you. Anytime your idea of what is best for you is in conflict with what God says, then and you go your way, you're getting less than the best in your life and your purpose for your life. We praise God when we admit to being his people and the sheep of his pasture, as it talked about, that we're cared for and kept by him. You know, when God blesses us, which is every day, every day, do you ever wake up kind of one eye at a time? Oh, I'm still here. I guess it's safe to open the other eye. Every day we wake up is a blessing from God. It's a gift from God. And how we carry on through the day is our gift back to God. And we need to understand that we ought to tell people it's the Lord Jesus that cares for us. It's the Lord Jesus that meets our needs. It's the Lord Jesus that's taking me to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus that's caring for me. He saved me. He keeps me. He's going to carry me to a place called heaven. We ought to recognize the power of Christ. And true, proper praise recognizes and perceives the power of God. Proper praise will practice His preferences. What does God prefer that you do that you're arguing about? What does He prefer that you do that you're arguing about? You see, the Bible talks about us doing the will of God, and we need to do the will of God. To serve is to admit that Jesus is the Lord. Not to serve is to admit that we think we're more powerful than He is, that we're smarter than He is, that we know more than He does, that we have an idea of what's right more than He does. We need to understand that proper praise practices His preferences, not our preferences. You see, if we're servants of Christ, then we're bond servants. You know, a bond servant is someone who was in captivity. And some way or another, he was released from slavery or bondage, whatever the case might be. But then he went to the one who released him and said, I want to stay with you. I want to be yours. Sometimes it was even a man who was a servant to a Jew because of a money situation. And they served 7 years and they were freed. And the man went to him and went to his boss and said, listen, I just want to stay here. You've been good to me and life is good and things are working out well, so I'm just going to stay here. And so they'd take him to the corner post of the house and they'd take an awl and run it through his ear and mark him for life. And that was a lifetime commitment. And that's what God's looking for from His people. Not a 15-minute commitment, not a one-hour-a-week commitment, not a just Sunday morning commitment. God wants His people to make a lifetime commitment to Him because we're practicing His preferences rather than our preferences. Amen. Jesus asked a question in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. He said, listen to this. He said, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say? I remember the very first time I preached on that portion of Scripture. I had some people get really, really, really upset. And I've gone back over in my mind dozens of times and said, was it the way I said it? Was it an illustration that I used? And the answer comes back each time, no, you read the verse. And here's the verse again. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see, if we're going to praise Him like we should, then we're going to submit to His lordship. We're going to submit to His preferences. We're going to allow Him to make... When we come to a Y in the road, we're going to ask the Lord which way we ought to go. And the way we go ought to be His way. Say, well, Lord, this is a much more comfortable way. He said, yes, but I can use you this way. This way is much more popular. But you can glorify me more here. Well, this way is easier. But I'll be with you in a special way here. I know it's harder. Yes, it's harder. It'll build character in your life. It'll be good for you. This is the way I would prefer you go. And so there you stand. Which way are you going to go? Proper praise practices the Lord's preferences. And then proper praise is pleased to thank the Lord. Here's something to add. Let me ask you this. What if the Lord this morning decided He's going to take back everything from you that He doesn't think you thanked Him properly for? What if God, now He's not going to do that, I don't think. He hasn't let me in on that anyway. If He decides to do that, it's a complete surprise to me. But what if the Lord this morning would come down and say, you know, Mr. Mr. You're almost afraid to use a name because somebody somewhere has got that name. I preached a message one time on Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith, and they were both in the services. That got a little tight too. Amen. But what if God came down and said to you, brother or sister, you put in the last name. I don't think that you're quite as thankful as you ought to be for your job. So I'm going to take it away from you. I don't think you're as thankful for your family as you ought to be. So I'm going to take it away from you. I don't think you're as thankful for your health as you ought to be. So I'm going to take it away from you. What if the Lord this morning decided to take everything away from us that He did not think we were thankful enough for? Not talking about your spouse or your children or your parents. But does God know that you're thankful this morning? Are you thankful this morning enough that God knows it? The Bible says that enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, according to verse number 4. And so we find that proper praise is pleased to thank the Lord. You know, once you start making a habit of that, you'll go along and you'll drop something. You'll say, didn't break. Ooh. Boy, the other day I took a platter, and I don't know whether it has any significance from, I don't think it's anything we inherited. Probably got it for 50 cents at a garage sale or something. But it's a big platter. It's glass, and it's pretty, I guess, in its own way. Not nearly as pretty as a 45 semi-automatic, but it's a very, very nice-looking dish. And I picked it out of the sink and was going to dry it. And my wife is still in bed, and I was going to surprise her. And I dried this dish, and I dropped it. And it goes clang, 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 clang. And it did one of those spins, like a top. And I thought, the last spin is going to pow. But it didn't. I said, thank you, Lord. You may have saved my life today. I was listening to Brother Weaver teach Sunday school a while ago. And I shouldn't have. But I went, and when I went down like that, my watch fell off. And a pin had come out of it. And so I didn't want to move. It's got to be here somewhere. I didn't lose it in the car and to get in here with my watch still on my wrist. It's got to be here somewhere. I don't have cuffs on my pant legs, so I don't have to look there. My pant legs on the outside of my boots, so I don't have to look there. Where did it go? Where did it go? So I just decided I'm going to sit real still until Brother Weaver finishes his lesson. Then I'm going to stand up. And lo and behold, there it was. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I put my watch back together, and it has a flip lock on it. And I put it back together with the lock flipped the wrong way. So now it's locked on, off of my wrist. Little things. When we get to the place where we just, God gives us a thankful heart, and He will if we ask Him to, we find all kinds of things to thank Him for. Thank Him for what you had to eat. Thank Him for what you didn't have to eat. Thank Him for who cooked it. And thank Him for who didn't cook it. When we were in Austria, one of the things we did to try to train our girls was their mama would instruct them that each one of them had to prepare a meal. They had to prepare the menu. They had to set the table. They had to prepare the meal, cook everything, put it on the table. And one day, Park, I suppose he was about 10 years old in Arnery, 9 years old in Arnery. He says, Mama, who's cooking tonight? And she said, Tuesday. He said, doesn't the Bible say something about prayer and fasting? We need to thank God for things, everything. Listen, If you've ever struggled to breathe, you know what it is to thank God for the next breath. But shouldn't we thank Him for the every breath? We ought to be a thankful people. God, listen, proper praise is pleased to thank the Lord. We're commanded to enter His gates with thanksgiving, to be thankful unto Him. And there's no greater way to thank Him than thanking for creation, thanking for salvation, thanking for keeping us. Just on and on and on the list goes. Proper praise proclaims our passion. Notice verse number 1. Make a joyful noise. Verse number 2. Serve the Lord with goodness. Verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And so we find that we're supposed to proclaim that passion. And that passion ought to be, oh, how I love Jesus. That's what it ought to be. And we love Him because He first loved us. And we ought to just fall in love with Him. And then we ought to proclaim those professions. We ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, singing and speaking and using a musical instrument, and make communication with the Lord. Come before His presence with singing and singing praises to His name, verse number 2. Enter His courts with praise, verse number 4, and bless His name, verse number 4. Proclaim our passions. Does the neighbor know that you love Jesus? I mean, really. He knows you love your new car because you wash it 2-3 times a week, maybe. He knows you love your boat. He knows you love a lot of other things. Does He know you love Jesus? He ought to. And then proper praise has precious products involved with it. The Bible speaks of joy and gladness. And these are expressions of happiness in the service of our Lord Jesus. And when we praise Him properly, when we properly praise the Lord, He presents to us great joy and great gladness. You know, just saying thank you to the Lord Jesus sometimes just gives you the knowledge that God heard you and that God was pleased. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing just to be able to praise the Lord and enjoy the gladness and the joy that He gives you. Somebody said that that happiness is the icing on the cake of praise. When we praise Him, God says, okay, we thank Him. He puts icing on the cake. I don't want cake without icing. In fact is, you could turn it around and put the icing there, sprinkle a little cake on, and I'll be fine. Way to go. Amen. So we need to be people who praise the Lord. Come to His gates and into His presence, not with a frown on our face, not with a chip on our shoulder. You know, I know some people walk around with their feelings on their elbows, and they're almost hoping that someone will bump into them so they can get upset. And then they want to come in that condition in before the Lord, the one who loved us so much. He gave not one of His 3 or 4 sons, but His only begotten Son to suffer such pain and suffering and humiliation and then die and shed His blood because He loved us. And then we come into His presence with a frown on our face, with a chip on our shoulder, with a bad attitude. Shame on us. Shame on us when He loves us like He does. See, our job as children of God is to make the Lord look good. And now, the Lord is good. Amen. But sometimes our responses to Him tells people that are watching and people who know us, maybe God isn't quite as good as what I've heard He is. You know, the Bible promised us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the mind of men, nor the heart of men, the things that God hath prepared for us. God is good. And our attitude and our praise, both publicly and privately, ought to tell people that we love Him because He first loved us. Let me ask you a question this morning. In the business of service, and I'll say spiritual service, some people would say religious service, but God hates religion. In the business of spiritual service, whom are we trying to please? There was a famous violinist who was going to do a performance at a world-famous concert hall. Kind of reminds me of the time that Jimmy Dean, how many of you know who Jimmy Dean is? Did you know him before he started making sausage? Amen. Jimmy Dean sausage, that's the guy. Jimmy Dean was one time at Carnegie Hall. Someone stuck a microphone in his face and said, "Well, Mr. Dean, what do you think?" He said, "It's a long ways from Mule Shoe, Texas to Carnegie Hall." But there he was in Carnegie Hall. Well, this violinist was in some type of a world-famous concert hall. And he's going to give a solo presentation. And so he gives his presentation, and he starts to leave. Of course, the crowd is going wild. They're on their feet clapping and applauding. And he leaves. He comes back out and does an encore. They got louder and more robust. And he's still not smiling. He leaves and he comes back out. He ended up doing that 4 or 5 times. And the last time, every time the response was better, every time the presentation was better, more flawless and more enriching and more of more value to the people that heard it. And everyone was just stymied by the talent that he showed. And the last time that he performed, man, people were jumping up and down and applauding. And I don't know if in those fancy places they whistle or not. But probably if there were some rednecks there was probably some whistling going on. They were excited about him being there. And he left. And somebody backstage said, "They're calling for another encore." He said, No. I'm finished now." And so a reporter, hearing that he's finished now, came to him and called him by name and said, "Sir, why is it that you're finished now? Each time was better and better and better." He said, "Well, the first time when I finished and the crowd stood, there was a person who didn't stand. And I left and I was troubled by that. And I came back out for the encore and everyone stood except that person. And so it was, so it was, and so it was until the last time. And the last time I did that, he stood, and he was as raptured as anybody, and he was applauding as loud as anyone, and I was satisfied with the job that I'd done." And they said, "Well, sir, who was this? Who was it? Was this a person here and a person there?" He said, "No, it's the same person." "Who was it?" He said, "It was the master who had taught me my violin. It was the one I owed everything to, musically speaking. And when he finally stood and clapped, I knew that the master was satisfied." Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that our master is satisfied with the way that we praise him on a regular basis? When things are tough, sometimes it's easier to praise him then than it is when things are going good. But what does our master, I'm not asking you, what does a preacher think? I'm not asking you, what does your spouse or your children or your parents think? What does your neighbor think? But what does our master, what does he think of our praise? Is it proper on a regular basis? Is our praise what it ought to be? Let's bow our heads, please.